Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for September 23rd, 2014. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm talking with Michael Simons about how FGF signaling inhibits TGF-beta signaling to prevent endothelial to mesenchymal transitions in blood vessels. The integrity and proper functioning of blood vessels is obviously important for health, but there are a lot of ways that normal, healthy vasculature can become dysfunctional. Vascular homeostasis is the term for the ongoing collective processes that keep blood vessels in good working order and ensure that vessels are repaired properly after being damaged. An important part of vascular homeostasis is maintaining the sheet of endothelial cells that line the vessels. Endothelial cells are flattened, polarized cells that are tightly connected to one another to form a continuous sheet. Under certain conditions, endothelial cells can undergo an endothelial to mesenchymal transition, called endMT. When they transform into mesenchymal cells, the endothelial cells lose their polarity and become only loosely associated with one another. This change in morphology and cell biology makes the cells unable to perform their normal functions. TGF-beta signaling can induce endMT, and signaling through the FGF pathway prevents endMT under normal conditions. A new study from Michael Simons' group addresses how FGF signaling inhibits TGF-beta signaling to suppress endMT. Simons spoke to me from the Yale University School of Medicine in New Haven, Connecticut. Hi, Dr. Simons. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
How does endMT affect the normal function of blood vessels?
Well, it is not a normal process in blood vessels. Normally, it does not happen, but under certain adverse circumstances, endMT starts, and that leads to expansion of the innermost layer, new intima, by an increase in number of cells there, and by also increase in the amount of extracellular matrix. That, in turn, can lead to vessel narrowing, limiting amount of blood flow that gets to tissues downstream.
What triggers endMT? Is it ever a part of the normal development of the circulatory system?
We think it is not a normal part of the circulatory system at any point. EndMT does take place during early embryonic development when it plays a major role in how a cardiac valve forms. But to the best of my knowledge, it does not play a role in a normal vascular development. In adult vasculature, it does not occur under normal circumstances either. But if there's an inflammation around blood vessel, or there's a damage to blood vessel, and it loses protective signaling that keeps endMT in check, then it starts.
How is endMT suppressed under normal conditions?
It appears that there is a continuous fibroblast growth factor, FGF input, into cells that line the innermost layer of the vasculature, endothelial cells, and that FGF endothelial signaling actually shuts down endMT. And it does it by not allowing expression of the key receptor molecules that drive that event. And the system that plays the major role in forming and inducing endMT is TGF-beta growth factor family signaling that is normally not active in vascular endothelial cells. As I said, you need this continuous FGF signaling input. And that goes via the fibroblast growth factor receptor 1, FGFR1, that is the key FGF receptor in all of endothelial cells. If the expression level of that molecule goes down, and if there's a decreased amount of FGFR1, then there's a decline in an FGF signaling input that then induces TGF-beta signaling. As we have shown before, a number of inflammatory signals, such as, for example, TNF-alpha, interferon gamma, can inhibit FGFR1 expression. So if you have an inflammation around the vessel, or if you have an inflammation in the vessel wall itself, as happens in a number of diseases, then you have macrophages, T cells, B cells there, and they secrete the inflammatory cytokines that then lead to fall in FGFR1 levels, and that in turn activates TGF-beta, which in turn induces endMT.
In this paper, you addressed how FGF signaling inhibits TGF-beta signaling to prevent NMT. How does it do that?
So we knew that you need an FGF signaling input to keep sort of TGF-beta at bay. What we didn't know is what kind of FGF receptor was the actual signaling molecule. So there are four different FGF receptors. All of them are expressed in normal endothelial cells, and we didn't know which one was doing it. So by knocking down each one of them in cell culture, and then by moving on to knockout mice models, we were able to show that it is an FGFR1 that is the key signaling receptor in the system. What FGFR1 signaling does is it maintains high level of LAT7 family microRNAs that target TGF-beta receptor 1 and 2. So as long as you have high levels of LAT7 in the cell, TGF-beta receptor expression is down. There is no significant amount of receptor expressed. As soon as LAT7 levels go down, and if you remove FGF signaling input, LAT7 levels go down by 100-fold, which is a really major change. As soon as that happens, TGF-beta receptor levels go up, and now endothelial cells are ready to respond to any TGF that happens to be around, and there is a lot of TGF around, and that will induce NMT.
So you found that FGF signaling through FGF receptor 1 induces expression of this microRNA that downregulates TGF-beta receptor abundance.
Right.
You did those experiments in mice, in cell culture, and in mouse knockouts.
Right.
Does this mechanism also suppress NMT in human vessels?
It most certainly does. We have two types of evidence for it. If you look at failing transplanted human organs, such as the heart, and if you look at the arteries in those heart, you will see that there is extensive amount of NMT there. There is extensive amount of TGF-beta and all the consequences of that, and you can see that the whole process is happening there. Or if you take a human blood vessel and you put it in a nude mouse, you will see that actually NMT will happen there as well once you have induced an inflammatory response. So it happens in diseased human tissues, and it happens in human vessels implanted in mice.
Does that mechanism of FGF signaling through FGFR1 to downregulate TGF-beta signaling also function in the human tissues?
Most likely it does. We're studying this now. This is a little harder to show, obviously, since there's not a lot of humans with an FGF receptor 1 knockout. But it probably does. You could certainly manipulate that in vivo by putting human vessels in mice, and you can see that. Purely in human tissues, I would imagine that in a number of inflammatory settings where there is vascular damage, this is probably in large measure because of this process. So I would not be surprised if actually NMT underlines a number of very common human vascular diseases. But that's something that we're actively studying, of course.
Michael, thanks for speaking with me.
Pleasure.
That was Michael Simons discussing a paper published in the September 23rd issue of Science Signaling by Chen and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.